Welcome back, everyone, to this incredible, empowering journey. I hope everyone is enjoying the shows every week. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe to the show. So today we have another individual who has turned their passions into purpose and their dreams into reality. I'm your host, JoJo, and today I am thrilled to have with me a very special guest. He's a man of many talents, a published author, a record label owner of not only one studio, but two, and a true creative force in the industry. Please welcome Andrew Thorpe King to the show. Andrew, it's an absolute pleasure to have you on the show today. And Andrew, you've worn many hats throughout your career. Could you share with our listeners a bit about your journey and how you got to where you're at today?
Yeah, so I guess it kind of goes right to the heart of the premise of the book, which is really around kind of what I would call off-road entrepreneurial and venturing as a creative or an authentic person trying to live their authentic life in the world throughout my 20s. And so I did a variety of different things. I did this stuff in finance and banking, a financial planner, owning online lending companies, owning a fitness center, doing a bodybuilding competition, writing a spy novel, owning two record labels. One is street punk, oi and psychobilly. The other one is hardcore metal. Ending up in the financial technology space and the payment space, working in corporate banking. And it was kind of like through all of those different iterations of myself and expansions of myself and what were kind of the circuitous ways to increasing success and overcoming failures and hard times, what was the secret to it? And it really came from this Winston Churchill quote where he talks about success being going from failure to failure without loss of enthusiasm. And so for me, it was that lust for life, that belief that I could always vent. And that from everything that I chased after, that burned inside, that I knew I had to chase after to satiate, that was worth doing regardless of the result.
Wow, that's inspiring. Now, your book has been making waves. And what inspired you to write it?
Right. Yeah, so I mean, I think that was it, right? And I was taking a beach walk one day, and I was going through these twin failures. And for your audience, the book is called Failure Rules with an exclamation mark. The five rules of failure for entrepreneurs, creatives, and authentics. And I did this beach walk towards the end of 2013, and I kind of walking through twin failures in my life. One was a pretty contentious, complex business divorce that had caused me to have to rearrange my financial life for one of my businesses. The other was a marital that was really kind of coming. And so my world was about to really be kind of shifting upside down in terms of its structure from a personal life standpoint, a business standpoint. And that's when I thought that was a ritual quote. And I was listening to music because music has always been a driver for inspiration and change and giving me the ability to overcome, right? So I was listening to a playlist and listened to songs by like Motorhead, the Ace of Spades, and Cro-Mags, Hard Time. Mm-hmm. And that's where I just thought, I've learned a lot over the past 2 decades. And I decided that I wanted to do that and document that in a book about failure, and not only tell my story, but what are the stories of others, virtual mentors and personal mentors in my life that really inspired me and gave me any sort of intellectual fodder or motivational wisdom to get through some of these hard times. So that's why there's tons of case studies in the book, everything from musicians and rock stars to authors and poets and writers to business leaders and entrepreneurs and other various eccentrics who I admire that are kind of littered throughout the poster, the five rules of failure and lessons within.
Wow. What messages do you hope that readers will take away from your book?
So I think they probably could be summed up with the five rules, but I think kind of the powerful rules are the rules that bookend the set of rules. So failure rule number one is failure purifies, right? So it's the idea that the phoenix must burn to emerge, that sometimes when we're going through what are failure events in our lives that seem like they're tragic or the world is doing something to us instead of for us, that's not always the case. And many times it's at all. And if we sit back and objectively look at what's happening to us, chances are with some introspection, we might realize that the event is burning off some sort of faulty thinking, faulty foundation, old way of being that needed to die, and allowing for the spew way of being to be resurrected, for us to find reinvention that's necessary for us to move forward and fullness and flourishing. And so it's that idea that failure is a purifier, and we see it as such. and we can use its power to our benefit, and not just feel like we're being injured. And then failure rule number five is not your first. So it's the idea that, again, you have these failure events, and, you know, we often feel bad and have shame. And, you know, some of that's fine, particularly if it's ethical failure, right? But even still, there's redemption there, and we need to find a way to decouple our identity from those failures, move out, realizing that they don't define us, they're just events. And we get to choose how to interpret them, what to do about them, and any change that would be wrought as a result of the lessons we learned from those failures.
Wow, that's a powerful message indeed. Speaking of stories, your record label is known for its unique approach in music production. Can you tell us a little bit about how you approach the artist that evening?
Yeah, so I think, just in terms of unique, it's more about the aesthetic, right? And the first label records is Hope Records. It's a real label at this point, released a little over 80 records. That really is kind of, you know, steeped in the traditional New York hardcore type sound, right? Which is, hardcore is a little different than punk rock. It takes punk rock one step further. It's more like gang vocal oriented, a little, you know, it's not quite metal, or it's not exactly, it's not beats. It's more shouting, right? And it's mosh-heavy, right? And hardcore versus punk. Hardcore bands are more known for not just kind of diagnosing problems and speaking about their angst, but also trying potential solutions to overcome, right? Right. So that goes along with the theme of failure rules, which is, you know, find a way to get to that path of overcoming. And so they're the type of bands I put out on that label. So classic bands like Madball, Sheer Terror, Blood from Bloods, you know, from the Boston and New York, and then a ton of others. And then the other label, Sailor's Green Records, is more dedicated to what I would call like street punk or, you know, oi or stuff that has its roots in British oi, which is more like club rock and psychobilly, right? So that's a little different, has a totally different aesthetic. And so if that branch off from the other label, you know, specifically to cater to those niches.
Wow. Andrew, what has been one of the most memorable moments that you've experienced while running two record label companies?
Most memorable moments. Good question. You know, I think probably that the one band who I work with is a Celtic punk band from outside of Chicago, Flatfoot 56. Great guys. I'd wanted to sign them for years and finally did. And then, you know, became friends with them. And then they played my wedding. So to have a killer Celtic punk band, complete with bagpipes and kilts, come play my wedding was a pretty badass thing.
Oh, wow. That must have been an amazing experience. It's clear that your work has a significant impact on others. How do you stay motivated and continue to empower others through your work?
I think it's really just a natural reflection of my true disposition in life, right? So there's many times where I'd have to go back to my own damn book and read it, remind myself how I need to be oriented when I'm walking through new and fresh of complexity and nuance to say, oh, right, here's a lesson I learned 10 years ago. Here's how I express it in the book. Oh, yeah, this applies here. Okay, here's the mindset I need to adopt. So it's just as much a note to self than anything else, right? So I'm constantly living these principles and returning to fuel me in my own decision-making on a daily basis. So it's quite natural for that to just spill out in my social media presence or in podcast interviews or in any other way that I'm promoting book.
Right. In your experience, what are some common misconceptions that people have about finding their purpose or pursuing their passion?
That's a really good question. So I would say the idea that you only have one is a misconception. The idea that even if you have one and it's clearly identified, that means you can just abandon all else and go forward as the crow flies. So the first point, like, I believe we have multiple purposes in different spheres, in different settings, in different spheres of our lives. And it's the mystery of life to determine and discern what that is in a given moment. It takes a lot of reflection and solitude to discern that and constantly recap. And on the second point, I would say that a lot of the people I write about in the book, particularly, not all, but many of them, they found very creative ways to get after the dream. So the failure rule number four is, build your thing one and thing two enable big your thing one and thing two and let's see. Thing one is like an enabler pursuit, something of no meaning that you use just to get structure and scaffolding to more safely go thing two aspirational dream, right? And so an example I use in the book is like Chris Rennan started Bridge Direct, Direct Record, money to start his record label. So instead, it will start a very easy, quick to market, profitable business selling Yankee Suck merchandise at Boston, Red Sox games. And he used that good money to then seed and underwrite his first 17 record releases. So it was like the Yankee Suck was his enabler pursuit, and then his dream pursuit that enabled was seeding this record label that really aligned with his true, highest
Wow. You've been involved in various creative and entrepreneurial ventures. How do you believe creativity plays a role in empowerment and personal development?
I think it's really, really key, right? Because creativity has many forms. It can take the form of creating art, take the form of, other forms of just natural expression in your daily life, the way you speak, the way you dress, music, what have you. Creativity is necessary for navigating a very changing and complex world and trying to find ways to make good decisions when there's not always clear answers, right? So I think, the things I want to address in this book is how to evaluate certain complex decision points in your life, particularly if you're someone chasing after an unorthodox career path, or it's just someone who, the very act of living your authentic life clashes with the world a bit, and you have to figure out that maintain authenticity and do it in a way where, while you might be clashing with the world, you're not against the world. You're still kind of invoking what Leo Tolstoy said, which was, sometimes the best solution is to ignore the opinions of others and be kind. Right. So it's kind of like navigating, that type of duality and mentality.
Wow. Can you share a pivotal moment in your life that significantly influenced your perspective on empowerment and success?
Empowerment and success. Yeah, I think I did a video about this, right? So I am, when I had to make the change from going to being an entrepreneur, from running a gym, record labels, and my own online life, I really had to set my own goal. To speak the way I wanted to speak, even if rough and loosely swearing and being loud and aggressive and covering tattoos and all that. I had to switch from all that to go into corporate finance, where all of a sudden there's language codes. You have to speak a certain tone, otherwise you frighten people. Can't really show my tattoos so much. And I felt like a fake, but yet over time I realized that I wasn't. What I was doing is expanding my skill set, expanding my presence, expanding the nature of my authentic self while still retaining old ways of being. So that was inspired by Solo Master, that in my view would be Dean Simmons Kiss, and he can get on stage and breathe fire, he put a suit on and get into the boardroom and speak clear academic English to get a good deal done, right? Or it was inspired by like who, is this badass ex-Navy SEAL, and at the same time, he's also runs a leadership consulting business working with corporations all the time. Or my friend Josh Coburn, who was really in the late 90s in rural Iowa, being a heavily tattooed Pierce kid, to the point where he almost committed suicide, but that he overcame that by just realizing with one simple quote realization that came to his mind, where he said, if I could take responsibility for ending my life, why the fuck responsibility for living my life? And he chose a lot. Now he owns his own cigar company. He's a social media company too, and he writes books and speaks and does a lot of other cool stuff. So, people like that really inspire me to realize that definition of being authentic self be really broad. If we're seeing ourselves as versatile and adaptable.
Wow. How do you maintain motivation and resilience in the face of challenges or setbacks?
Motivation and resilience. I mean, not for me, it's calling upon the mechanisms in the past that have worked for me. Again, note to self, read my own book to realize what I did in the past or what my mentors have done or would do. And it's also spirituality. I do have a relationship with the divine mind that we don't have souls. We are souls. We have bodies, right? So the premise that what's happening in the material world around me, physically, financially, whatever that is all really kind of temporal things, and that I have this mysterious divine spark and power within me that helped me out my own even comprehension. And so that really drives me to not really lose heart pretty much ever.
There you go. That's a good way to think. What advice would you give to someone who feels stuck in their journey and is struggling to make the next step toward their goals?
That's a general question. It depends on the goals, depends on the journey, but I think it does go back to adaptability. It goes back to not being stuck on who you are, and to realize that you can be so much more than what you are, and you can even become things that you think are outside your purview, outside your manifestation, that are uncomfortable to you, but that might be necessary for you to step into and find some sort of comfortability forward and live your best life.
Right. And what role do you think mentorship plays in the community and one's empowering? What role do you think mentorship and community play in someone's empowering journey?
Big time. And I think, you know, with the amount of instant information that we can get from podcasts or you know, immediate downloads of books or audiobooks or videos on those online, it is the amount of like curated, specific virtual mentors that we can access for whatever we're going through is so wide these days. I think that's an invaluable source. And we should be chatting and speak to us. Outside of that, obvious, there's the right people in your life that are worthy of being mentor, and not meaning like they're good enough, but just meaning they're appropriate and informed on specifically what you need to be observing and hearing. Then that's obviously important too, but that's harder to come by, right? More limited than digital act, but there's certainly been a few of those people in my life, and they've been absolutely invaluable.
Wow. What is one piece of wisdom that you've gained over the years that you wish you could go back and tell your younger self?
I know we talked about this thing one and thing two dependency. In my early years, I didn't build enough redundancy and scaffolding in my plans to protect me from risks that I should have anticipated. I was a little too, optimistic and aggressive. And that bit me in the ass a few. So now in my later years, I don't do that. Not that I don't take risks, but they're a lot more calculated. I try to build as much redundancy and backup as possible to protect myself from potential worst case scenarios.
Right. And how do you measure success? And how has your definition of success, has it evolved over time?
Well, actually it has. And there's a definition of terms in the book where I kind of redefine key words like success, right? And so I define success in the book this way. I'll read it to you. The term success is within the text as a measure of someone being in alignment with their calling journey. It does not correlate customary understanding of worldly success attached to the optics of stability, comfort, recognizable prestige, or measurable financial wealth. The referred within the text may carry any or all of these qualities as a byproduct, but these qualities are not necessary for it to manifest. Success is only valued within this text as an indicator of someone fulfilling the promptings of their internal spirit, world spirit, or joining with the mysterious, tumultuous, newest meaning of my journey. Therefore, it is possible that the chaos of an extreme failure moment and simultaneously merge within a profound success moment due to the ability for failure to pull someone succinctly into the current of their calling journey. So in layman's terms, it means is success is finding a way to live without regret because you are aligning with your calling journey at every turn, and you're not missing those exits that you need to be taking to chase after the things that you uniquely need to chase after. And so even though those things create failures, the fact that you're chasing after the right things and playing the right games, even if they're fraught with snares and tripwires, means you're successful because you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. It's like Henry Rollins. Okay. Put old singer for Black Flag, punk rock. He chased after he quit his job managing an ice cream store, quit the so-called safe path, jumped in a van with his bandmates, went on tour. It was the 80s, no internet apps, none of that shit. Very hard to tour. They starved at certain points. He had to eat dog food on the road. But he was living his calling journey. He was doing chasing after the wild, mysterious, and very supposed to be chasing after. You know, in the end, he did have success. He's now an actor, motivational speaker, author, you know, had his own solo band, and, you know, he's become who he's become. But it's because he took that risk and chased after his calling journey. So to me, that's the success. Even if he hadn't ended up having commercial success where wealth was created, he still was successful because he was chasing what was a necessary pursuit that he was uniquely called as.
That story is beautiful. I love how you said that. I mean, that really kind of aligned with how I feel. And like, that's why I picked you for my show. Like, you know, I kind of skimmed over, like, you know, the back of, well, you know, like the author's notes of about who you were and all of that. And I'm just like, I got to have him on my show. Andrew, lastly, where can our listeners find out more about your work and connect with you online?
Sure. You can find everything at andrewthorpeking.com, my website. There's no E in the Thorpe from the book. Anywhere books are sold online. Amazon obviously is the biggest bookstore in the world. It's available in all formats. So ebook, hardcover, paperback, a killer audiobook as well. So however you consume your books, please go buy it. And then I'm most on Instagram. So at Andrew Thorpe King on Instagram, no E in it. That's where I'm most active.
Awesome. Thank you, Andrew, so much. And thank you, listeners, for listening in today on the show. Don't forget to go to our new website, www.jojospodcastshows.com. Let's find out more information about upcoming shows. And I'll put your link on my page, too, so that way they can go to your website as well. Again, thank you, Andrew. Thank you, listeners. And I hope everyone has a blessed day.
Hey. Thank you so much. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk to you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.